Our first reading comes from Psalm chapter 34, and we're going to begin at the very first verse, Psalm 34, and reading through to verse 8. A psalm that invites us into worship. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 43 through to verse 54. And it's the sign in John's Gospel that we're going to be thinking around together.
And it is on page 1067 of the Church Bible. 1067. Jesus heals an official's son. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servant met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, Your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Amen.
We began a journey together through John's Gospel, looking at the 7 signs which John records there and shapes his Gospel around. 7 incidents in the life of Jesus, which he has recorded, having given thought and reflection to them because of the importance of them and what they say. And there are things within them that when we stop and look can be very central to our understanding of what our journey of faith with Jesus is all about. The one we looked at last time was where Jesus at the wedding changed the water into wine, and we saw how Jesus' ministry began and he stepped out on the stage of history as the great change maker, the one who was going to take that covenant from Sinai, and there was going to be a new covenant which was going to be struck at Calvary. We saw how he was going to change the law and its requirements into the wine of God's grace, that celebratory wine of the kingdom. And there was to be a new relationship with God, born of faith, not of legality, open to all, a faith that was within everyone's reach, and to come into a new relationship with God through Jesus and through his work upon the cross, the change maker. Today we're going to look at another of those signs. The second John records, very different. But nevertheless, as we look at it, we can take away reflections, familiar though we may be with it, and we can indeed take heart from them. This particular sign seems to have the ring of a message of faith about it, and the importance of that faith in this incident is one I want us to focus on in particular. And take three things away. There are many more, but three things we can take away maybe, just to reflect on. But let's just put this incident into focus as we come. It's a story which we've probably heard at Sunday school and we've read many times. But let's just pull the curtain back and be real for a moment. This is a man of some importance. He's a royal official in the royal household. Tragedy comes to us all, no matter what our role in life. And in his world, his son, maybe, we're not told, his eldest son, on whom his hopes were riding, had been struck down by a fever. We live in a day when antibiotics are used to take the fear of fevers away. But some of you remember the days before antibiotics. And fever with a child was critical, worrying. And there was that moment when the fever reached its peak. And at that moment, it could go either way. Things were not looking good because this man had in his world probably tried everything and nothing seemed to be addressing the issue. He heard that Jesus had come to Canaan, some 20 miles from where they lived. We're told he finally arrived at 7 the next morning. He had gone through the night on a 20-mile journey. Some weeks ago, we were in Mallorca, and there are roads there that we took that were very difficult routes to take. They were not tarmacadam routes. They had rocks, they had ruts, they had bogs, they had points where you would stumble. These were the roads he travelled for 20 miles, the rough, dark road, on his horse at times, by foot at others. Arriving after a 20-mile journey through the night on the edge of the crowd. Do you get the picture? Can you see the worried look on his face? The urgency within his eyes? The dust on his sandals and upon that regal apparel. This man had a burning mission and his faith was very obviously focused on Jesus. And there are three things in this particular incident that are important for us to note and important to the Christian message. Faith seems to be the bell that is tolled here and rings out quite clearly. This man had a faith very clearly focused on Jesus. And that, in the very centre of our relationship with God, is the critical beginning point of our journey of faith with God. A faith focused on Jesus. Not on us and who we are, not on who we think we may be or what we have achieved or our status. But if we want that relationship with God, it is a faith that needs to be focused on Jesus. This man pushes through the crowd and makes his request. He has no idea whether his son is still alive or dead. He left him at a critical moment to make that journey through the dark. And Jesus, there's a lovely kind of contrast in this story between the crowd and why they had come to Jesus and this man. And why he was there. Unless you people see miracles and signs and wonders, Jesus said, you will not believe. Note the last word. Believe. The crowd had come increasingly in numbers to see Jesus do a miracle. And they were focusing on the miracle. That day out with the family that they could tell to their grandchildren, I was there when Jesus touched a man who was crippled and he stood and he walked and I saw it. The conjurer, the magician, the spectacle. This man had come for no spectacle. His trust and focus was on Jesus and what he believed this man could do. He's not come to be entertained. He's come to seek Jesus' help in a critical situation. And his faith is focused on Jesus. And at the heart of our faith lies the person of Jesus, the one John is going to tell us more and more about. Can you hear the echo? Focus your faith on Jesus. No matter what circumstance or background you're in, focus on Jesus. At the centre of our faith is the crucified Christ. At the very core of our relationship with God is the door. I am the door, said Jesus, and through me you can come into a relationship with God like no other. You know, there are times when you talk to people and you hear them saying things, well, if Jesus did something, if there was a sign, a miracle, if there was something, I might believe. It's not by signs you come to Jesus. Not by signs. That was the way the crowd was coming. But by contrast, this man was driven by his faith in Christ. You know, there are those who've got many, many questions and they say, well, if you answer all my questions, then I might become a Christian. And how often people hide behind their questions rather than facing the challenge of putting their faith in Christ. But what was it Paul said? Since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what we preach to save those, here it comes again, who believe. This is a man whose faith was focused in the right place. It was a faith focused on Jesus. That's the first thing we can take away, the importance of that to the faith we hold and the journey we make. But the second thing is this, it was a faith which was marked by humility. Look again at the picture. Pride is one of the things we must let go of if we're going to be a Christian and walk with the risen Christ. The Bible tells us God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. This was a royal official. A royal official seeking the help of a total nobody. This was a man of some status, seeking the help of a man with no status. This was a wealthy man coming to a poor man. This was a man with a career coming to a carpenter. And you know, it's a humbling experience when you come to faith in Christ. That's where it begins. At the level of a child, we need to humble ourselves if we're to enter the kingdom that Christ is king of. And humility is not a popular message at all. But this was a man whose faith was focused on Jesus and was prepared to make the journey in humility. He was prepared, despite who he was, to make that journey. See, God doesn't reward us because we've put money in the offering. We've done a bit of good, a bit of charity. He doesn't invite us in on that basis. He doesn't just look for the folk who are well educated. He's not a God who says to people, well, when you've got some kind of church-going attendance record behind you, then. No. It's a humble experience that we come, nothing in our hand to bring, simply to his cross to cling. That's what this man was doing. As a man of stature, he was stepping down. Faith focused on Jesus, a faith marked by humility. And the last thing to take away and think about, it was a faith that was an accepting faith. Absolutely accepting. And in our journey with Jesus, there is a sense in which we have to have that acceptance marking our journey of faith with the risen Christ. There was no flash of lightning when Jesus said the words. There was no clap of thunder. There were no angelic trumpets blowing. What does it tell us about this man? The man took Jesus at his word and departed for home. And that's where we all begin, at the cross, taking the message, the foolishness that Paul talked about, the message, and heading for home. A new home, a heavenly home. It's a journey which requires us to have a faith which is accepting. You see, things don't always work out honky-dory on our journey of faith. This man had no idea whether he was going to go home and find his son had passed away. He accepted whatever the outcome that Jesus had spoken, and he was heading for home. What a picture of our Christian journey that is. What a picture. A journey which we set out on, accepting what Jesus has said. The gospel. Accepting it. Whatever it may be in life that comes. And it's a journey of faith all the way. A journey in which we're trusting in what Jesus has said and the promises he's made. Yes, he does get some reassurance along the way. You know, it's always nice to put these kind of stories into the real world. He's just travelled 20 miles through the night. You'd be tired if he'd done that. Did he rest up? I guess he had to. Did he change horses? I guess he had to. It took time. And you and I would whip out our mobile phone and ring home and say, how's the lad? Is he all right? No mobile phone. Accepting and making the journey. Accepting the words that Jesus spoke and setting out for home. He gets a little reassurance as some of his staff meet him on the way and tell him the good news that the crisis has passed and his son is restored to him. And he asks what time it was. When did this happen? Because fevers have a crisis point. And he was told it was at about the seventh hour of the day. That was the time he spoke to Jesus. And you know, along our journey, there are those moments, they don't come all the time, when you read the Bible and God speaks to you and there's that gentle reassurance. That morning when you come to church and there's that word in a song, in a reading, in a sermon, reassurance along the way. Yes, we get those times and they come, but life has its problems and we have to wrestle with them, don't we? But it's an acceptance in what Jesus has said. And in the wrestling, our faith grows and deepens and our understanding of God develops. It's the kind of faith that this man, when he set out, in his acceptance was prepared, whatever, he wasn't going to be able to come back the 20 miles and add 60 miles or 80 to two round trips and say, hang on a minute, it didn't quite work out how you said. Now, it was an acceptance that what Jesus had said was sufficient. Wasn't that the way in which Job and the message of Job comes across? Everything in his life went wrong. And that man's words are tremendously important to remember. For as his world fell apart, he said, even though God take my life, I will trust him. And for us all, there comes that moment when we do leave this life and we step into that eternal home. And there's trust beyond required. This is an incident that we need to get the message of the importance of faith. A faith focused on Jesus. A faith which is marked by humility, that we come humbly into the kingdom. And that we have an acceptance of what the gospel says. And on our journey, we rest in that acceptance. That what Jesus has said is both true and sufficient. But one last thing, as we close those pages and then move on, let's take a little look over our shoulder, shall we? There's one last thing to note. Do you remember how John began the gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and we noted that that's how the Bible begins. In the beginning was the... In the beginning, the creation story. Six times we're told on the days of creation the same message. Verse 4, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the second day, on the verse 6, and God said again. And verse 9, and God said again. And verse 14, and God said again. And in verse 20, and God said again. And in verse 24, and God said again, and in the saying, it came about. Look over your shoulder. How was it that lad was restored? Jesus said, go home, he lives. And it was so. Do you see it? The glimpse of his divinity and who he is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words inspired by your Spirit, written by your servant. For the glimpses we have of the faith we possess and how they can surround us on our journey with reassurance. We can see in them things that encourage us on our way. Help us to take them home this week, to look at them again, to focus on the importance of a faith focused on Jesus and the need for the humility in that relationship and trust and the acceptance of all that life might throw at us, that your word will see us through. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.